Can technology build better people? Well, in some ways, of course, it has. My eyeglasses allow me to see clearly. Smartphone apps like Google allow me to tap into information anywhere I get cell phone service. Computer scientist Ramez Nam dreams of a future where science can enhance more than our knowledge base. Nam is a professional technologist and science fiction writer based here in Seattle. He used to work at Microsoft, where he helped develop Microsoft Outlook and Bing. Last week, I asked Ramez Nam what technologies are most promising.
I think one field that has been slow to get started but has huge potential is what we call gene therapy, which is being able to edit the genes of a person who's already alive, a full-grown adult. And that has the potential to solve all kinds of diseases. It's being applied first to things that are very genetic. Like, you may have heard of bubble boy disease that's called SCID or ADA-SCID. So there have been trials on that, for instance. But it has the potential to do all sorts of things, to repair bad eyesight or to deal with the muscle loss we go through in aging, maybe even to slow down the aging process.
What about some of the enhancements we see coming online that will just make us who are already not with defects better than we are now?
In a way, we're already enhanced. You mentioned Google in your phone. You can access this enormous store of data, maybe close to all the information humanity has. And that's something that the U.S. president in 1980 had less ability to access data than you do today, let alone our Stone Age ancestors. So we look like non-humans to them in some ways.
What's happening here in our area, in the Seattle area, in the area of human enhancement?
Well, one of the things that I write about in my novels is the idea of putting technology right in your brain. Brain technology let us communicate our thoughts to one another, share what we're seeing. And that's science fiction right now, but there's some early work happening in that. At the UW, there was one really provocative study done by two professors, Rajesh Rao and Andrea Stocco. And what they did was they gave Professor Rao the ability to control part of Professor Stocco's body. So they played a video game together, but in separate buildings on the UW campus, about a mile apart. And one of them, Rao, could see the screen but had no keyboard. But he had an electrode set on his skull. The other one, Professor Stocco, could not see the screen, but he had the fire button to shoot at the bad guys and not the good guys. And he had a magnetic stimulator on his skull. So when Professor Rao would see a bad guy he wanted to shoot at, he would think really hard about shooting right now. And that signal would be transmitted across campus, and the other professor's finger would twitch on the fire button.
Autonomously, or did he know that he was supposed to push it?
He didn't even know.
Just pushed it.
That's right.
And this thought was pushed to his brain from someone else's brain.
It went across campus, and then the magnetic stimulator stimulated part of his brain responsible for movement of his right index finger. And it just happened. And then that guy himself would perceive that it was happening. It wasn't a voluntary action.
That's amazing. I mean, where does this lead us?
Well, in a way, society has been transformed by better communication technology. So if we could communicate what we were seeing, thinking, emotions from person to person, I think that has huge implications. But as with other technologies in this field, this is really being developed first and foremost for therapeutic reasons. People are working on brain implants to let paralyzed people control robot arms directly or move cursors on a computer screen. We have approved for decades now something called the cochlear implant that works like a hearing aid but sends sound straight to the nervous system.
This is very interesting because it's not amplifying something, it's going right to your brain.
That's right. The cochlear implant isn't a hearing aid. It doesn't broadcast cleaned up sound. Instead, it uses electrodes to stimulate the auditory nerves. It's sort of in the language that the brain uses for hearing, if you will.
It's also very exciting that we have the Allen Brain Institute here in our area that's taking a look at these things. What are some of the things that they're taking a look at when it comes to human enhancement?
They're not really working directly on enhancement, but they're working on the most fundamental thing about the brain, which is, can we understand it? The ability to understand something is the ability to control something. So the Allen Institute is using slices of human brains and analyzing them with microscopes at an extremely fine level that will eventually lead to part of what we think of as the human connectome, or the map of the connections inside the brain. And that's going to be transformative for our understanding of how we ourselves work.
Ramez Nam, you kind of raised the question of the risks of having our brains altered versus the benefits. And maybe we're far away from the benefits outweighing the risks of having someone go into our heads.
Yeah. If you are paralyzed from the neck down and someone says, we'll give you brain surgery that can give you the ability to control a robot arm or something like that, the risks of brain surgery look smaller to you relative to the benefit. If you're a healthy person right now, it's probably not worth it. It's almost certainly not worth it to have voluntary brain surgery to get any new abilities you might get. But a couple decades from now, as we get better and better at implanting those devices and as the benefits they give get larger, that ratio may shift.
In your nonfiction and in your talks, you were very technology positive about how this might work. But in your fiction, you sort of get into what could go wrong, and you explore that. So what could go wrong when you look at that side of it?
Well, imagine you had electronics inside your brain. All the things that happen badly with computers today could happen to you. Anything from a blue screen of death of your implants and maybe of you to malware and spyware to being hacked, which could give someone control over your brain, to someone like the NSA or a hacker spying on the contents of your brain. And fiction needs to be page-turnery, so I include a lot of those downsides as a way to motivate the plot.
But at the end of the day, you don't seem to really think that that is as worrisome as the upside of technology and human enhancement.
Yeah, every technology we ever invent has downsides. But in general, technology has made life better off and made society better off. So I think we'll see real downsides. But I also think the gains in being able to control our own minds, understand our own minds, and communicate more richly outweigh that in the long run.
Ramiz Nam, what are you waiting for? What kind of enhancement are you waiting for that might be in the horizon in your lifetime that you would jump at trying?
Well, I'm a terrible sleeper, so I'd love just a little brain implant to let me tweak my sleep centers, put it on a schedule. Hey, put me to sleep now until 7:30 a.m. and only wake me up if I get a, you know, priority one call. I'd like that.
Seattle futurist and science fiction novelist Ramiz Nam.